All right, this is the Digital Dave back.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
There you go. And we are joined by Mr. Paul Prideker. Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's close enough. I forget sometimes too. So.
Well, now, you're a chief instructor pilot. Yep. Your job is to check out new pilots, train them up, or?
You know, where we are, we had a visit a couple of years ago doing this program. And at that time, Air Wisconsin was hiring anywhere between 15 and 20 pilots per month. Because at that time the other airlines were hiring, there was a lot of movement in the industry, and we were busy. So we were recruiting pilots and going through training for our new hires. Well, a couple of things have happened with the age 65 rule that made a change in the industry, and of course the oil prices a couple of years ago made a big change in the industry. So our situation now is that we're not doing any hiring, so our activities are devoted to, you know, keeping our pilots certified, doing recurring check rides. And the training that we are doing is to work with some of the people who have come back from the armed forces who have been on leave for a few years. And last year, as a lot of airlines, we were forced to furlough some of our pilots just because of the business situation. We furloughed about 70, but over the last few months, we've actually been able to bring back 50 pilots and get them recertified.
Oh, that's so very good to hear.
There's
good
to hear. A little bit of movement.
In the right direction.
For sure.
Now, I wonder if you got, when you have an ex-military pilot coming in, do you have to train him that avoid small arms approach where they stay high and drop at the last second is not quite what you want?
That's right. We have to make sure they kind of do it by the airline standards.
It's a little different. Nobody should be shooting at you.
That's right. No, but we've had the opportunity to work with some really nice fellows who have spent their time over in Iraq and some of the other countries, and they're bringing them back, and it's good to have those guys back on the property for us.
Safely.
Absolutely.
Now, it used to be that getting into jets and commercial was actually quite difficult. You needed a lot of hours of very expensive jet time, turbine time, which was hard to get.
You know, I've been an instructor at Air Wisconsin for just short of 10 years, and it runs in cycles. When I first hired on, our requirements were 2,500 hours of total time and actually 1,000 hours of turbine. And right now, if we started up new hire classes, our minimums are 500 hours of total time and 150 hours of multi-engine time. So things have changed. You know, it's a supply and demand situation that we have to deal with. And of course, when you, I hesitate to characterize low time as, you know, low experience, because it depends what you've done with your time. I've had the pleasure of working with some people who have 1,000 hours of total time and just a few hundred hours of multi, and they do great. Their skill set is perfect, and youth is on their side off a lot of times, and it works out just fine.
It makes you jealous, doesn't it?
Yeah, you could say that. So we've seen the gamut of experience levels, and our goal at Air Wisconsin is to, you know, apply our training program to them and, you know, meet their needs and get them through the program. So,
well, you know, you talk about that training program. Of course, everybody in the industry, the media had a field day with that accident up in the Northeast, the low time pilot there that obviously had some background difficulties. I'm sure that you people are very, very thorough when you're screening pilot applications.
We are, and I actually had the opportunity to be at the NTSB hearings. They had a public hearing in Washington in May, and I had the opportunity to visit that. And we went there because we wanted to make sure, as a regional airline, that we're looking for information that maybe we would need to help our own training program, and just see if there was something that we needed to work on in our program. It's unfortunate. Everybody in the airline industry is sad when there's an accident of that type. And, you know, the director of the NTSB, you know, Mark Rosenker, who I think you folks might be interviewing sometime this week, you know, he said that, you know, it happened to a regional airline, but they're not regional issues. There's a lot of issues that are coming up these days. And I think that we might finally see a change to duty time issues, what our duty day will be like. NTSB is very focused on the effects of fatigue on flying. And of course, you know, one of the factors too is that when you're a regional airline pilot, you're not flying one or two legs a day. You're typically flying four or five or six legs a day. And that brings some other issues with it in terms of how you manage your life and how you manage your fatigue.
Well, you also have the issue of complacency. You know, oh, I've done this route 100 times in the last month.
That's right.
So you got to watch that.
That's right. And that's common for all pilots. I mean, it's not any different than if you're flying a 172 between, you know, Green Bay and Milwaukee, you know, several times a week. And we do get comfortable. And, you know, being comfortable in an airplane is sort of a double-edged sword. It's good to have a comfort factor, but you need to pay attention.
Yeah,
things can happen.
There's a line.
That's right. There's a fine line.
How much has training itself changed in the 10 years you've been there? I mean, simulators have come into widespread use now, haven't they?
We're exclusively simulator training. Our training center is in Charlotte, North Carolina. We share the facilities with U.S. Airways since we're a U.S. Air Express carrier. What's changed is a lot of focus, of course, on automation and being able to manage the airplane. We often tell our new hires that the CRJ, the regional jet that we fly, is not an airplane that you fly. It's an airplane that you manage, because we put a lot of emphasis on the automation of it and the systems control. So a lot of our training is geared towards how to handle automation efficiently and make the airplane work for you and become more of a systems manager. So that's been a change. Also, and again, the experience level of the people that we've been hiring recently has changed. So that requires us to take a step back and, you know, make sure the fundamentals are there before we move on.
I guess you do have a washout rate, but hopefully it's very, very low.
We do have a washout rate. Part of it is governed by the fact that we have a syllabus with so many hours in it, and it could be a case where somebody, you know, can get through the program with more time. The airline industry is fairly structured in how we run our syllabus, and we give people every opportunity, and if they need some extra time and are making progress, that's good. But of course, we have to be safe.
Yeah, that's of course the primary concern.
That's right. We have to be safe, so we're conscious of that.
And, you know, the other thing is that an accident with the internet and everything the way it is, you know, with global distribution of various aircraft types here and there, when somebody does have an accident, it affects everybody that's got one of these of the particular aircraft that was involved. And communication these days is lightning fast.
Yeah, the public will know before the supervision will know.
And that's a good point. I stress to our pilots all the time that you need to go by the procedures, go by the book, do what's required. If you get on the other side of that and something happens, people will know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You can't hide these
things. Well, even if you do something just mildly dumb, everybody's going to know about it. Like
you
missed the gate or you missed the turnoff or something.
And we've all had that experience. It's just most of the time there's no consequence of that. You just feel it a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that we're looking ahead is that, you know, we don't know the exact details, but we're quite sure there's going to be a change in duty time issues that'll be significant for the industry. One way to cover that will be to possibly hire more pilots. So we're actually looking at a point where to cover the changes in the anticipated changes in the regulations, we'll have to do some more hiring. Plus, when the age 65 rule came about, that delayed a lot of our hiring just because there was more pilots that were going to stay in the system longer. Well, eventually those guys, you know, who were going from 60 to 65 will be retiring. So we see some opportunities in the industry to, if you want to come to the airlines and have a career in it, we see some opportunities in the future. And, you know, places like EAA and you know, the efforts of AOPA to try to keep, you know, the pilot pool going is essential, because we'll need some pilots.
So you're saying in the next 5-10 years, there's going to be a large demand?
I think even sooner.
Wow.
Yeah.
We keep hearing that, but yet I have a buddy of mine that I've known for over 20 years, and he's applied to several airlines. His credentials are excellent. I've flown with this man a bunch of times. He's never gotten hired by the airline.
They just don't like him.
He's done very well. He knows people that also applied for airline jobs the same time he was applying. They've been furloughed 3-4 times while
exactly.
He kept right on working. So it's a great career, but I mean, be prepared to be like a ping pong ball bouncing all over.
There are times when it's a really tough industry, and it's not always easy to understand either.
No, it isn't.
It's dynamic, and there's a lot of changes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for coming. And
my pleasure.
If we want to find you on the field, where do we go? Oh, he's keeping a low profile.
Hey,
I'm on vacation this week.
Oh, you guys don't have a booth.
We don't have a booth here this year.
How about a website?
No. Airwis.com.
Airwis,
W-I-S? Yes.
.com. All right, you heard it here from EAA Radio. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we'll be right back.